Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Are you glad we have a God that we could call upon for prayer? You know, this isn't just a religious formality. You know, say, oh, this is what we do. We're Christians, you know, and this is the way church works. We come to church, we talk about prayer requests and people's needs, and we pray and we've done our part. Well, truthfully, brothers and sisters, it goes way beyond that. And you know, the thing is when you find yourself being concerned for others, and when you get reports and you take it to heart and feel their infirmities, and you plead before the Lord and go before God for your brother or for a friend or even somebody you don't know, when the day and hour comes to you that you need a supernatural touch, and when you need that heavenly touch, and that you need that guidance from heaven, and you need that direction, that He's there for you. Amen? Because He saw the times that you were pleading for others. And you say, well, then you make it all of this mercy and all these blessings of God into works, that we have to work to earn those things. No, because I can tell you what, there's times that God could reach down to one that's never even spoken His name and could miraculously do a supernatural touch to show His power and things. But I'm talking about how to learn to please God and walk with God with faith. What is faith? It's an expectation of God. It's an expectation of a need that you have that you could call upon Him and that He will meet that need. And there's ways when He expressed Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, about a great faith. And He said, I've never seen this kind of faith. Because He saw that they meant business and tapped in. And when the Bible said that if we would commit our works unto the Lord, that our thoughts could be established, a man with established thoughts could exercise faith in a realm that you might not have ever tapped into or touched. And there's people that are walking in more benefit and more benefactors of the kingdom of God and the spiritual things of God than others are. And it's simply because His word is true. And He said there's a reward for all labors. And when we find our labors into the kingdom of God. You know, and if you're looking for your labors just to be meant to you on this side, He might hold it back from you because we're storing Him away in heavenly places, amen. Treasures that moth, rust, and decay can't get to and can't touch. And I'll tell you, when that place comes to the point they overflow to us on this side, we all could raise our hand and say, we've been partakers of the grace and the mercy of God. And I count it all joy to be a servant of a living God. Let's turn over to the book of Romans tonight, chapter 9. Let's begin right here at the beginning of chapter 9. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Can we read verse 3 one more time? And put yourself in this, brothers. Could we make this kind of statement? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Could you see if you applied in verse 6 to a Christianity today? Because we're speaking here about the elect. We're talking about an elect. If we were bringing into our understanding what the elect is, could we say the very same thing this evening? How many people do we know that number themselves with us or in Christianity? Not speaking us as Christian temple people or whatever. I'm talking about just with Christianity. And we see the scriptures the same. There's no new spirits today. There's no real new thing. There's no new thing under the sun according to the word of God. And it's just these same old spirits of deception and evil devices and principalities and powers that are manifesting in our day and hour with the same plan and the same deceitfulness. Everything's the same. It's all according to the will of darkness or the will of light and understanding and revelation. It's one with the other. It's only two. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You see, in a natural-minded man can't understand this. Why would God hate this one child when it was still in the womb? This is what he says here. He said he hated it. Now, why would he hate this innocent child in the womb? You see, this is the problem, is we think in the realms of humanity and man. We think in the realms of works and the realms of the deeds that they've been done. And you say, well, he said this because of predestination. I say, yeah, and amen. That's exactly right. Wasn't there spoke of a predestination? There was even a speaking of a seed to Abraham. And about being as numerous as the stars. How could he be predicting these things and saying these things unless he is God and knows all things? And it's just not an idle word or an idle spoken thing, but he expressed it. What shall we say then? Verse 14. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. God forbid when our mind would even let us go in those realms. But you know, we could sit here in our religious innocence, we might say, and our mind just rambles and roars with God. Why God? Why me, God? You know, you done this, God. What about me? What about me? That doesn't get his attention. That works for carnal moms and dads. Carnal-minded moms and dad, they feel sorry for you. It might work with carnal friends or bosses. Oh, they feel sorry for you and they want pity. It don't work with God. I know a lot of things about God. I've tried a lot of stupid stuff with him. You can all look at me and smile like you are innocent, but you all done the same thing. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Now think about the righteousness of your own fathers. Man, you go out and do something wrong. You knew you was in rebellion. You knew you wasn't supposed to do it. And you went out and done. You come back. Oh, come on, Dad, please. Hey, son, I love you, but come on. You know, I mean, if your dad was a righteous dad, that's what he's going to do. If he told you that there was going to be an action of punishment for this deed and told you not to do it, and then you do it, he needs to follow through. So maybe he didn't want to, but he still did it. What about God? His word is yea and amen. It's true. He's going to do the very same thing. You know, you could plead, cry, and all this kind of stuff. You say, hey, I got, you know, I'm going to keep this word. This is what has to take place. And sometimes the ministers of God, the Bible says the avengers of God. Sometimes he puts us in a place and says, look, this is it. This is what you have to do. It don't matter. Oh, Lord, I don't want to. But I don't have that choice. It used to be that way in all pretty much realms of life. I mean, talking about in elementary school and junior high school and stuff. I mean, hey, there was a lot of things we did that we didn't want to do. You did it anyway. Learned obedience. You know, nowadays kids are too picky. You sit the children down at the table, and we had one brother in our church a few years ago, and the only things his kids would eat was pizza and I think Taco Bell. Nothing else. You know, you say, well, shame on the kid. No, shame on mom and dad. I know there's kids aren't going to, there's going to be certain foods they're not going to like and won't eat. But I'll tell you what, as a child, I pretty much ate what was set before me, and my Bible tells me to do the same. Had a chicken foot put before me over there in Romania. I was like, you eat chicken feet? You at least could have pulled the toenails off of it first before you boiled it and put it in my bowl. But I'm not stingy at all. I preferred my brother here. Brother, you can have this chicken. I like that part of the chicken better. Okay, back to the scriptures here. Verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. That's something to rejoice about. I hope you know him in these scriptures, in this word. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Isn't that something? if we would think about the sovereignty of God, and we would think about the mind of God, the will of God, and here he is expressing of his will taking place in Pharaoh. You've heard me say numerous times from the sacred desk about the Lord going to Moses and saying, I want you to go free my people. Has to burn a bush over and the bush isn't being consumed. Speaks out from it. So he's going through some real supernatural acts right here to get this man's attention, correct? And he's over here trying to get his attention to go free his people. Then he goes over at the same time and hardens Pharaoh's heart. Think, well, that just don't make sense. I know I've said that numerous times. But right there's your answer of what did he say there. It says, verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Still being declared, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, through the number of the children of Israel, be as the sand of the sea. A remnant shall be saved. Small flock. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah saith before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. I love reading the scriptures. I know I'm not a very good reader, but I still like reading the word of God. Amen. When we look back right here, and it says in verse 32, wherefore? And we see there, because they sought it not by faith, but as it was written, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Let me explain something right here. There's times that people, they have their works committed unto God. Now, I know the Bible says that if our works are committed unto Him, our thoughts can be established. But even in all of that, there's people, because of this very same thing that we just read about in this chapter of God, that God allows things to take place. Because we could start turning our works into a law. You see, the Bible says that we're saved by grace, not by works, and no man can boast. But then yet, we speak about faith, and we know that faith has to have works with it, or it's dead faith. And dead faith is, there's no salvation in that. So when we start speaking, and I know I've spoke about this over many times over the years, but when we start speaking about faith and works, they run very, very close together. And then on the other hand, I could say they're as far as the east is from the west. You see, when we think of certain things in God, it says it takes that two-edged sword dividing the soul and the spirit. Well, some theologians even go on to say that there is really no difference between the soul and the spirit, which we've done much teaching on soul and spirit, so we disagree with that kind of a statement. You know, but the thing is, brothers and sisters, the Bible said it takes that two-edged sword to divide them or put them asunder. Amen. But once you divide them and put them asunder, you could see such a vast difference between the two. Amen. Now the thing is most people that can't discern or don't have discernment, they can't discern the difference between a work by the law and labor of man and work by faith in God. They can't discern the difference. And many times they're very difficult to see and comprehend or even understand the difference of those things. The Bible again says there's a reward for all labor. I had a man get crossed up with me over some doctrinal issues. I was speaking about not having a reward for labors and giving. And he crossed up with me. Well, he was right in the sense because the Bible does say that there is a reward for all labor. But you see, the dimension that I was speaking in was beyond the veil, in the spiritual realm where rust, moth, and decay can't touch. And when I spoke this forward, it crossed him up. And he said, well, there's no reason for me to give. And I was testifying to the fact that the woman that gave the mite had given more than anybody else. I could just say, and I've said this more than one time, I know, but I believe that in that service, I bet you there was a wealthy individual that probably put a very large sum of money into that offering plate. Now you say, you don't know that. It's not written in the scriptures. And I say, and I know I'm not making a doctrine here, but I just understand the things of God and how it works. That I would tend to believe that there was somebody that might have put, in your way of thinking or something, might have put $1,000 or $10,000 in there. But here's the woman that comes and puts a penny in. And it's testified of her through all of the generations, according to the word. You see, it moved the heavens. It moved the kingdom of God. You see, and what I'm saying is there's many times that we think we're going to move God by materialistic substance and things, and it does. But if we're depending upon that for our strength and for our salvation, then we've missed the will of God and the faith in God. You know, the thing is the Bible talks about giving cheerfully. We have cheerful givers in this work, you know, and I appreciate that. But, you know, see, there's a difference. You see, the thing is, sometimes we could go ahead and press over and do something. And we could press over and do something and receive a blessing from God. But again, it's, we could limit God and the blessings of God because of a state of thought and a state of mind where He could bless us. I've seen people press over and help people and then be so murmur, so to speak, and complain for doing it. And they really lose their blessing. You know, and sometimes you might help a man out in a financial need. And you say, if you've done it according to the word, you lend it with no expectation. And if there's no expectation of return, then you're not grieved about it. And then you receive a reward for it. But I've seen people do it with a lot of animosities and a lot of things, and they've robbed themselves. You see, I'm talking about understanding the things of God and the will of God and the mind of God and how He has a vessel to honor and another to dishonor. You could be standing and thinking how wretched and wicked and no good Pharaoh is, and God's sitting there saying, hey, I raised him up. What are you going to do about that? You going to get mad at God now? He has a purpose for him. There is a divine purpose that God had for him. And we find faith in God manifesting. And we have to come to understanding things and circumstances and peoples and things around about us. We got to learn to look and say, okay, God, I understand your will. I understand the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And you start putting your faith, your trust, your life, and everything in His hands. We get in warfares. Well, why is this? Why is that? I had a man come to me bawling and crying. Man, Brother Rob, I've been praying. I've been giving. I've been trying to be faithful to church, but my son's us and us. You know, saying that he felt like it was an injustice being done to him. And I told him, I said, you know what? In the middle of the winter time, you can't go out to an apple tree and get an apple off of it. You can get mad and curse the tree. It's out of season. It ain't your son's time right now. Set your hope. Don't get mad at God. Don't get discouraged. Don't get weary and well doing. Keep on doing. Keep on pressing. Keep on walking. But what happens is we fall short. We might be the only thing standing for their salvation. We find in the scriptures about a jailer. It didn't talk about the works and the things that he done, but his whole household was added to him. Say, I don't believe that. You don't believe the word of God then. I'm just telling you the Bible. Well, you think my mother or my father or somebody could be wicked and because of my righteousness they could be added in? Sure they can, but they'll depart from their wickedness. And you'll see it. You'll see them come away from it and come out of it. You just trust and you pray and you watch and you believe. But sometimes we have so many laws of expectation that we expect to see in them that we miss the mercies of God moving in them. And when we see the fruit of the Spirit coming forth in them, we need to be there to encourage it and call it forth. When you plant a fruit tree, doesn't it take nourishing? Or just because it's a good, healthy fruit tree that you buy down here at the nursery, you just stick it in and forget about it. Well, it might do okay. But if you nurture it, put dung around it, you water it, you cultivate and just keep working and watching, and you'll be partakers of the fruit of it. But what happens is you get weary and well-doing. You get weary and well-doing, and you forget these principles that we read right here in Romans tonight of how awesome and just and righteous our God is, and we don't question Him. You don't question Him. You don't murmur and complain against Him. You don't think, oh God, why me? You see, that's the spirit that is perplexing your thoughts and your mind. And you got to put that away. When I do something that's under the Lord, I do it because I love Him. I do it with no expectation of return, but faith does look for a return because it makes His word real and alive. But if my motivating factor is just me, 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 and selfishness, then my prayers are amiss. But we give unto the Lord. He gave His life for you and I. Now we give our life for Him, that He could utilize it for His glory, for His honor, for His praise. Sometimes we limit God even in the utilization of our bodies because we have an idea of how He's going to use us. Well, Lord, if You're going to use me, I want You to put me in front of people. Or, Lord, if You're going to use me, I want You to do this. You got to get that out of your mind and out of your thoughts. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. It doesn't matter if I'm going to hold the door. It doesn't matter, Lord, what I'm going to do. And when a man truly, I mean truly, comes to that as a revelation with all sincerity, and he does it all with joy as unto the Lord, God will raise him up. Because when a man will humble himself into those things, God will exalt him. But man wants to be exalted, and they want to exalt himself. We've all dealt with this, brethren. I mean, it's the mind of the man. It's the mind of carnality. We want recognition, we want prestige, we want power, we want glory, we want these things, but we've got to die to that. We want to make everything just so religious. Well, you know, I was crucified with Christ. Okay, great, you understand one of the scriptures. But were you really crucified? Did you really die? Did you really get out of the way? Did you really let Him live? Did you really walk by faith? Did you really do that? And we start doing a reality checkup. And then when we find circumstances like these that come in our face and come into our lives and come around us, how do we deal with it? See, then all of a sudden it starts exposing the real power of God in us. Do we really have the strength? Do we really have the power? Do we really have the endurance? You know, think of Peter. Oh, Lord, man, I love You. Man, I'll lay down my life. I'll die for You. He said, You'll deny me thrice before the sun comes up. He was sure of himself. I think Peter was a righteous, good man. And I believe he was a sincere man. I really believe he loved the Lord. And I think when he said that to Jesus, he meant it with all of his heart. But then all of a sudden he found himself standing before the mob that's ready to drag him right into the same courtroom with Jesus. He thought, hey, I don't know this dude. Who are you talking about, that guy? It said that he went on and he cursed. And they said, oh, he must not be one of his followers, because they don't talk like that. That happens to some guys on their job sites. You know, well, this guy's a Christian, man. He goes to church just enough. They get over there and they hear all this filth coming out of their mouth. Oh, well, you know, he's not one of them. It's still happening, isn't it? No, he ain't one of them. Christians don't talk that way. Sons of God don't speak like that. They ain't got no filth coming out. Filth coming out, something got in there. It ain't supposed to be in there. So now we got to get that vessel cleaned out. Pray in the Holy Ghost and renew that inner strength and get that vessel clean and let that pure waters run through that rivers of living water and cleanse and purge and wash and regenerate. Amen. I tell you what, it's an awesome thing to find the power and the presence of a living God flowing through your innermost being. Amen. So what is it? We find that there's an elect of God. We find there's a plan of God and a purpose in God. Can we stop and look at our lives and we see that we're seeing God having His way in it? Or is Satan having his way in it? Who's utilizing my vessel? Who's molding me? Who's making me? What are the attributes that are manifesting forth in my actions? Are they of God? Are they of Jesus Christ? Are they of the enemy? Are they of the devil? Who are they of? See, I got to challenge myself. I got to check my heart. I got to check my spirit. I got to find out. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, you know, you're a preacher, you're a minister, man, you know, this, that. Let me tell you something. I am in a continual warfare and a travail. I'm going to continue fight against the principalities and powers of darkness. Satan is continually trying to lay a snare upon me. You know, we could talk about Christianity and walk through life. Oh, whoopee, 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 glory to God, I'm a Christian. You know, howdy doody, whoopee, whoopee. You know, but hey, come on, let's get real. We're soldiers for Christ. Amen. We're in a continual warfare against these principalities and powers of darkness. They're real. They're out to kill you. If you're not concerned about your own soul, get concerned about your families. I don't want to be a father and a grandfather watching Satan destroy my family and my children and my grandchildren. I say, God, maybe I can play Russian roulette with my soul, but I don't want to do it theirs. Somebody needs to be an example of light. Somebody needs to show the authority and the power over the prince of darkness and say, I'm walking in the light. Who's responsible for that? You know, maybe your mama does it. Maybe your brother does it. Maybe your daddy does it. Maybe your sister does it. You know, maybe your cousin does it. But you know what? Who's responsible? We got to get and take the responsibility on. We're the children of God. Now we are the sons of God. We are the salvation to them. We got to bring forth salvation to them. We're not going to see God draw them unless he's drawing through us. We got to take our responsibility and say, okay, God, you know what? Utilize this vessel for your glory and for your honor. Let me redeem that which is lost. It's a responsibility. So, as a man testified to me about the people in his church mocking him because he had Parkinson's disease. And they're saying, man, where's your faith, brother? This and that. But I turned around and I testified to the Lord. I said, God's allowed this to come to you. And I said, this is what you'll see when your children to God. Because he'd been a good businessman, making good money, been faithful in the church, been a deacon for eons and eons. He'd been a deacon forever in a church and faithful to the house of God. Every time the doors were open, he was there. He's a good man. He was a good example of Christianity. He helped me a lot in my younger years in Christianity. He gets older and gets Parkinson's disease, starts shaking, has trouble getting a glass of water up to his mouth. Sad. But his brothers in the church say, man, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's their understanding in the scriptures? The Lord has allowed this thing to come. You know, his children saw him, why everything was good, why his businesses were strong and his businesses were good and had lots of finances and homes and everything going good. And, hey, God's a good God. But when a man is shaken uncontrollably and he can't even hold a glass of water and he can look up towards heaven and say, I'm serving an awesome God, a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. My God is a healer. My God is a deliverer. Then he can say, you know what? This relationship this man has is real. Brother Pike, man, had some real infirmities in his fleshly body. And I can remember his last few weeks, people would be coming in, he'd be laying hands on them to receive a divine touch from God. People were receiving miracles and being touched and delivered from infirmities and sicknesses. And this man had things in his bloodstream that was devouring away on that fleshly part. And he still glorified God. Never cursed God. Never said, God, why me? He said, God, your grace is sufficient. And he kept on praising. He kept on pushing. He kept on expecting. He kept on believing. Kept on desiring. God has his way in those things. God has his way in it. In the good and in the evil. Sometimes you got to be able to witness things and say, you know what? God's good. He's a good God, a righteous God. And you keep on walking with him. You keep on pressing in with him. And you keep on going. Amen. What are you going to say? Oh, me. Poor me. Why, God? Why don't you do this, God? Why don't you do that? No, why don't you just worship and praise him, exalt his name and lift it up before all the people and say, man, I am serving an awesome God. If your house is taken away from you, look up towards heaven and say, they got something here they can't take away from me. They can't take away my God. They can't take away my salvation. If they take away your cars, they take away your home. If you bury your wife, if you bury your children and you stand before you, you need to look up towards heaven and say, my God is an awesome God. Amen. He's a just God, a righteous God. He's a good God. He might have saved that wife from long-term suffering. Or if she is in long-term suffering, you need to look up and say, my God is good. Hallelujah. And his faith is righteous and good. And he's good. Amen. And his grace is sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not moved by the infirmities in this old fleshly body. We're not moved by feelings. We're not moved by the things that make us feel good. We're moved by one thing, and it's the word of God. And my word says that he is spirit and he's a good God. Amen. And it doesn't matter what takes place in this old tabernacle in this earth. Amen. But we're here to do one thing, to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So whatever we find, if you find yourself in poverty, lift up your head and say, I thank you, God. I praise you, God. You are a good God. Amen. And He'll never leave you or forsake you, and you'll never be begging for bread. You just rejoice while you're there, and He'll bring provisions to you to sustain life. Amen. It doesn't matter if your health departs from you. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't have enough strength to lift up your hands and magnify and glorify, ask somebody to help you get one up in the air. Say, brother, just help me out here a minute, for I can testify the goodness of God, amen, that He's a good God and an awesome God, amen. If you don't have breath and you got enough strength to write it on a pencil, just pick up a little note and say, my God's a good God, amen. Hallelujah. And you praise Him and testify Him, and you'll see your strength come back, and you'll see your vision come back, you'll see your walk come back, and it might be in glory, amen, but hallelujah, you'll be shouting the victory for all of eternity, amen. Don't let the circumstances of this world move you, amen. God will allow somebody to go through things before you that you could see the testimony of Jesus Christ and the power of His salvation and the goodness of God, amen. Rejoice, praise Him. He's all worthy of all praise. Don't praise Him only when things are going good. That's not the kind of praises. I see the brethren coming out of the jailhouse going to be beaten and rejoicing and praising the Lord to be beaten for the namesake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're talking about somebody who had a hold of something. Amen. And we need to praise God. And He has all things after His counsel. All things are in order. It's all moving by His perfect plan and by His will. Trust Him, believe, and He can change the circumstances. You doubt and you get unbelief and you murmur and complain against Him, then the things will get worse. You got to say, you know what, God, I'm a servant of the Most High King, and I love you, and I'm here to stay, and I'm not going to be moved, and I'm going to praise and worship and give you all glory and honor, and I thank you. And you claim whatever it may be, you call it off in the name of the Lord and say, God, if it's a son's salvation, a daughter's salvation, if it's a grandson or a granddaughter or whatever, you pray and you believe and you trust and you watch and you make yourself available, and you'll get to see. Amen. Because God's a just God and a righteous God. Where do we let unbelief take over? When do we know that unbelief has merged into our thought life and into the things? You know, sometimes we let this unbelief come in and we start questioning Him. Don't ever question God. Never, ever question Him. Not ever. One time. Don't question Him. Amen. I'll tell you, He's good. It didn't say if you had substance, praise the Lord, if you got breath.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, if you ain't got no substance but got breath, praise Him and you'll find the substance, man. He'll bring you a substance. He'll bring it to you, something that you could really shout for, and something that you could praise Him for. Say, Brother Rob, you've never seen poverty, and I say, yay and amen. I haven't. You never seen tough times, I say, yay and amen. I really haven't. I've seen the manifestation of someone that's had some tough times. I've never had tough times. You know, well, you can preach faith like that because you're an American. Yeah, amen. I'll tell you, my strength ain't in America. My substance and strength ain't in those things, brothers and sisters. You know, maybe you'll get to be blessed and fortunate enough to maybe see this guy get stripped down to have absolutely nothing. But I'll tell you one thing that you won't see him take away from me, and that's my opportunity to rejoice and to praise my living God. When they set laws in the United States of America that I can't preach His gospel, because I'm not going to stop it if they set the laws. So if they find me incarcerated and find me out on the chain gangs, which I think they need to reinstate, and if I'm one of them, I'll tell you what, when you see that sickle swinging, you're going to hear somebody rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to count it all joy to be incarcerated for the namesake of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to stand for His word. I'm going to preach His word. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm going to stand for holiness. I'm going to stand for virtue. I'm going to keep preaching against the immoralities of a fallen government and a fallen people and a fallen religion in the United States of America. And I'm going to keep preaching. And if they hate me, I'm going to rejoice. When they persecute me, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise His name, because this is what it says in His word. And His word is vindicated, it's yea and amen, and it's true, and it's going to continue to be that way. It's not going to be easy to live a real true Christian life, brothers and sisters. It's getting very difficult, and they're pressing you more and more. And the things that we think are necessary, holiness, the things that we think are necessary, they don't think it's necessary in our day and hour anymore. But my God is a God of holiness, amen. And without holiness, you will never see Him nor never know Him, and you'll never stand before Him, because He is a holy God. And it's getting hard to make a stand for that this day and hour. The holiness churches have departed from all that. They got their ball fields and their ball teams, and they got all this kind of stuff. You say, well, I think it's good for kids. It ain't working. You might think it's good for kids, but it needs to give kids something to stand for, something to stand in, and something to get a hold of. Amen. We need to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to praise His name, and we need to testify His goodness. Amen. And let somebody see Jesus Christ alive and well in our lives. Let's stand together. I appreciate you. Amen. I don't want to be, I made this statement I read the other day. It said that it's a lot easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. I don't want to come into this church and preach what you might think is a good message or what I might think is a good message. I want to live one. It's easy to say the things that people want to hear or think they need to hear. You could have people in a church and you could be preaching down what you call some old-fashioned preaching there. Amen, hallelujah. You know, you say, glory to God, praise the Lord. But you know what, brothers and sisters? I want to walk in the presence of a living God. I want the testimony to come forth from my actions, from my labors, from my expressions, from my word, and the things that I do. And I fall shy, as well as you do. But you know what? I can thank God for His mercy and His grace. And it is sufficient, but I don't want to take advantage of it. I don't want to turn to the sin. I want to keep going, keep pressing, and keep expecting. Do you have any expectations of God? What is your expectation tonight? If I ask you tonight, if I said, hey, sister, hey, brother, hey, sister, hey, brother, what is your expectation of God? Do you have expectation? I do. I mean, do you have some? Well, I expect Him when I go out and sin to Him, forgive me. So you have an expectation of Him defiling His word and making His word not true. You see, the Bible said we even pray amiss. That's selfish kind of praying right there. That's amiss. But I'm talking about an expectation of God. You know, if you're a minister, you have an expectation for Him to fill your mouth when you step behind a sacred desk. You have expectation of Him to direct you where to go in the Word of God. If you're sick, you have an expectation of Him to bring the virtue of Jesus Christ to your body to heal you. You see, these are the kind of expectations we should have. Try me and see if I'm God. You know, we need to have an expectation, but we don't need to have some kind of an arrogance about it. With some kind of filthy, perverted, carnal mind. And God, I expect you to do this. As I've shared with you, a man came into my house and he said, God has to forgive me because He has unconditional love. God don't have to forgive you. That's what he told me. God don't have to do that. He said, well, he had an expectation. That's so he had to do that. No, that's not expectation in Christ and hope in God. That's just pure ignorance. It's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness to even make that kind of a statement. We read right here, you know, he should have said, you know what? I don't want to be one of them vessels that God would dishonor. I know He has one to honor and one to dishonor. But you know how, if you're a vessel of honor or dishonor? It's real simple. If you're bringing honor to the glory of God, then you're a vessel of honor. But if you're bringing honor to the kingdom of Satan, then you're a vessel of dishonor. It's not hard. People make things so complicated. You know, well, am I the elect? Am I a Christian? Am I really born again? Do I really have the Holy Ghost? These aren't hard questions to answer. You can have some say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm spirit-filled. Preachers sometimes will speak faith to you. You know, brother, I really believe you're a son of God. There's nothing wrong with a preacher saying that. You could look at a man with a heroin needle in his arm, white remnants of cocaine around his nostrils, whatever. And you say, you know, brother, I believe you're a son of God. Let me help you out here. Give me your hand. Let me help you up on your feet. I love you. And you can start speaking life into him, and all of a sudden that man will come on his feet. When my son was in jail, I sent him a letter and I said, son, I want you to look. He spent 30 days there. I said, son, I want you to look around in there. I want you to look in there. But I wasn't trying to teach him to be righteous or better than them. But I said, is this your world? Is this what you want? Is this the way you're going to live? You need to look and see in there that you're not relative to this. How long will the eagle want to pick Star Tina out of the chicken pen? One day it's going to realize, man, I'm not relative to this. Sometimes man's got to wear themselves out there and then realize, you know what? All this labor's in vain. It's all vanity. It's all vexation of the spirit. Amen. People are lusting for things. And then when they get it, they think, God, this ain't all that much anyway. I want a new car. I don't know. That old 95 does pretty good, man. Don't have no payment with it. I kind of like that thing. I don't operate by lust. We all have. If you say you haven't, you're a liar. And now you got a real problem because all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, but all people of lust, they might get delivered. We all lust after things. All of us do. Well, you're a preacher, you don't need to lust after. No, I lust for God and more of Him. I want more prayer life. You say, well, that's improper terminology. Lust is a strong desire. It could be turned into a positive thing. But the lust for the flesh and the lust for the world and the lust for money and finance, prestige, a lust for big business and be the boss. You know, hey, those things, you know, there's no difference in lusting for that. You know, you always take lust over to the immoral side of things or immorality or sexual immoralities. But lust is something that takes place, brothers and sisters, in people's life every day. There's nothing wrong with having a desire of things, but it's that strong desire that gets you off focus and out of bounds. It's that strong desire for some of those things that'll get you in trouble. Let's walk with God. Let's listen to God. Let's walk in the Spirit. Quit telling God you'll do it when He does this. You do whatever, and then watch Him add an increase to it. So how do you have that kind of faith? Because I believe His Word. And His Word is Spirit, and His Word came into me. And I became one with His Word. And when I became one with His Word, I found Him in me, and me in Him. And through me, and I through Him. So I find myself being motivated, stimulated, activated, all by Him. And His Word, and His Spirit. And I find that that's life, and it's abundant life, and eternal life, and holy life. Amen? I'm not looking for everybody's got certain ideas, but one thing I do look for is fruit. Is there any fruit in your life? I pray and hope that it's good fruit. Amen? Sometimes an evil one sneaks in by night and tries to sow some seed that isn't good. But I have faith and thank God for His grace and His mercy and His strength to help me get into that garden and pull the tares out, get those things out of the way that cause stumbling block of offense for others. I'm not doing these things for my salvation. I'm doing it for others could see salvation and desire salvation. Do people look at your life and want to desire a supernatural life of God with God? Amen. Pray for me. That's where I want to be. Amen. Let's sing a song or two and we close the service. When you take your petitions to the Lord in prayer, remember He grants them. And I ask you one thing to remember me in prayer. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.